This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, and thank you for joining me this Wednesday for another hour of old-time radio crime stories. We'll hear first this week from The Adventures of Philip Marlowe in The Final Payment, his story from September 15th, 1950. After that, it's Crime Club and The Self-Made Corpse, their story from July 31st, 1947.
Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison of the grave. There's no other end, but they never learn.
From the pen of Raymond Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. With Gerald Moore, starred as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Final Payment.
Yes, sir.
I'm Philip Marlowe. Warden Riker said he'd see me at noon.
Oh, yes, Mr. Marlowe. The warden will be with you in just a minute. Excuse me, please.
Sure.
Warden's office, Sergeant Kennedy speaking. Who? Oh, the L.A. Tribune. Yeah. Cenero's execution? Okay, hold on. I got the dope here on my desk someplace. Excuse me, Mr. Marlowe. It'll be just a minute.
It's all right.
Press get hungry for the gory details about now. This is the third call this morning. Have a seat there.
Oh, thanks.
Here it is. Office of the Warden, State Penitentiary, 10 a.m., September 8, 1950. Subject, press release, paragraph 1. William Arthur Cenero, 24, tried and convicted of the robbery murder of Emil Negrotto, Bakers Beach, California, last August 5, is scheduled to be executed in a manner prescribed by law at 11 o'clock post-meridian this date. At this time, no stay of execution is anticipated. Signed, Stanley M. Riker, Warden. That's it. Huh? No, you can't talk to the warden. That's why we go through all this press release junk. Yeah, well, we got our problems too, you know. Goodbye. Sorry, Mr. Marlowe. Now, your appointment with the warden. What was it about again?
William Arthur Cenero, 24. I'm a friend of his.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course. I forgot, sir. Well, I hope I haven't offended Mr. Marlowe. That is, I'll tell the warden you're here, sir.
I knew I didn't have too much right to be mad at one Sergeant Kennedy. But today it didn't matter. Because I was mad at the whole world, and in particular what it had done to a used-to-be nice kid named Billy Cenero. And when I stood in Warden Riker's far-from-drab prison office and waited while a dapper man in gleaming Hickok cufflinks and soft gray gabardine got through talking to his wife in syrup, sticky tones, I began to get mad at him, too. But that drained out of me fast because when he hung up, he scraped the goo off his voice quickly, shook hands like he meant it, and told Kennedy we weren't to be disturbed. When he spoke of Cenero, a lot of sympathy crawled in between the words, even when he came to the point.
It's a breach of regulations for a condemned man to have any visitor other than the prison chaplain on the day of his execution, Mr. Marlowe. So first of all, just how well do you know Cenero?
Well, he sold papers on the corner near my office as a kid. We swapped gags twice a day.
And when his father died and he quit selling papers?
I never saw him again until a year ago when he got over-involved with some tin-horn gamblers. I managed to set him free.
As a private detective?
As a big brother. Went to work in a San Pedro boatyard after that. I haven't seen him since.
And then you have no idea why he's asked to talk to you today?
No, I don't. Do you, Warden?
Mr. Marlowe, do you recall the details in this case?
Well, yeah, more or less. Let's see, an old man named Emil Negrotto and his wife were robbed of $100,000 worth of uninsured jewels at their summer place at,
Baker's Beach.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And Emil Negrotto was killed when he tried to interfere. Cenero was tied back to it by a single fingerprint and later identified by Mrs. Negrotto. I believe she thought there were two more, huh?
Yes, but Cenero denied this.
Uh-huh.
Also, Mr. Marlowe, you may recall that the jewels were never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Cenero said they were lost at sea when the boat he fled in hit rough water on the way back to San Pedro. Now, Mr. Marlowe, do I begin to answer the question I just ignored? The jewels, I mean? Cenero may want to tell you that they weren't lost after all. He may want to tell you where they are. He may want you to do something about them.
So the last will and testament, is that it?
From his point of view, yes.
And from mine?
A very lucrative offer. Perhaps 50%, Mr. Marlowe.
Why not 100%, Mr. Warden? Don't be a piker. I could always cross him up, you know. Anything else? Or were you just letting me know why the state is allowing this visit?
I was just letting you know what the state knows, Mr. Marlowe.
Uh-huh.
I know a little more. I know that Billy Cenero is through as a criminal. In his heart. Not just because he's behind bars with worse to come. He's ready to die, Mr. Marlowe. Almost anxious.
Well, then why the session? Why all the statistics? Why the invitation for me to play informer?
For two reasons. First, I may be wrong about the boy completely. Thus, his repentance is a fake.
Which you don't believe.
No.
What's the other reason?
Look, Marlowe. If anything goes wrong, you came in here as an informer. That's official.
And unofficially?
I want to give the boy a break. Cenero asked to get you because he wanted to talk to the only person in the world he thought he could trust. And right now, I think he has every right to just such a talk, whatever it's about. I only wanted to be sure he talked to the correct party, that's all. Sergeant Kennedy to show you the way, Mr. Marlowe, to Cenero's cell.
I was a bit confused. Riker seemed anxious to help Cenero over some rough hours, and yet at the same time he was shrewd. In no time he'd work me around to where I'd be the fastest, most courteous informer on record if Cenero was a fake, I thought. But I thought otherwise when I was alone with Cenero. I knew that the Negrotto jewels did still exist.
Mr. Marlowe, why are you looking at me that way? Don't you understand what I'm asking, don't you see?
Now, wait a minute. Take it easy, Billy. A step at a time. Now, you say that the jewels never went overboard.
No, I never even saw them. That was a cock and bull story.
Uh-huh. And yet you want me to get them, to get the jewels, and return them to Mrs. Emil Negrotto. Is that right?
Right. To Mrs. Negrotto, the woman who identified me. The widow of the man I killed. Look, Mr. Marlowe, sit down here on the cot and listen.
Okay. Now, where's the beginning, Billy?
Last August 5th, there was me and the other two, a big red-headed louse named Jesse Tapp and a girl named Gloria. Gloria Konkowski, a blonde with a little scar on the bridge of her nose.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's girl, strictly flashy. We took my boat. It's a fishing smack, the Love Lady. We sailed from San Pedro over to Baker's Beach. I was the one who shot him, Mr. Marlowe.
And the jewels?
They were in a leather bag. Jesse had them. But after the shot, we split up fast and ran. I hid until the next morning, then shoved off in the Love Lady. I don't know about the others. I was picked up that afternoon. The rest you know.
I'm not so sure. At your trial, you swore that...
I was alone and the jewels went overboard. Well, at first I thought that I might get off, so I had to clam up, but then I... Then everything changed.
The verdict, huh?
No. An old woman whose husband I'd killed.
See what you mean. But you still didn't tell the authorities who the others were.
No, and I won't today. Both Jesse Tapp and that blonde can smell a cop a mile away. They'd only run and take the jewels with them. The law'd louse it up. I want the jewels back to the little old lady.
I always liked you, Billy.
I know how you work, Mr. Marlowe. Got enough for you to start on. It only came yesterday. That's why this last-minute rush, you might say. Mr. Marlowe, I know where Jesse Tapp is. That also means Glory isn't far away.
From where?
San Pedro, down near the docks. Now, look. There's a tough old guy who runs a dry dock and repair lash up for small boats, name of Jomo. I worked for him a year ago. I also left him the Love Lady. He spotted Tapp, had his eyes open for months for me, no questions asked. He was here to see me yesterday. He's out to find where Tapp hangs out now. He's the one you see.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What makes you think Jesse Tapp still has the jewel?
Because I saw him take him and run, and he's still hanging around San Pedro. Maybe he hit him where he can't get to him. Maybe he doesn't want to get to him until he's contacted the right fence. Anyway, Mr. Marlowe, it's a chance I'd like you to take for me. Of course, I can't talk about your fee.
Look, kid, don't you think we ought to talk to the warden?
Mr. Marlowe, I've done nothing but think. This is the only way it can possibly work. The only way it can help me and Mrs. Negrotto both. Well, will you try it?
Yeah. I guess so, Billy.
One last thing, Mr. Marlowe. If you make it by... before 11 tonight. Get the word to me, will you? And if you don't make it, or it looks like you're not going to, don't lie. Okay?
Okay. Time's up, Mr. Marlowe. Sorry, Sinero.
It's all right, Kennedy. Don't mention it. So long, Mr. Marlowe.
Goodbye, Billy. It took 5 minutes for me to walk back to the warden's office and 5 more to lie to him about what Sinero had wanted of me. And another 10 to get outside and head toward my parked car. I was thinking about what the condemned man had told me when I suddenly realized I was in the middle of a busy street and right smack in the path of a speeding car.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
What is that?
Hey, mister! Mister, you all right?
Holy
you
smoke.
Okay, huh?
Yeah, I'm okay, I'm okay. Much obliged. I'll try to remember to look where I'm going next time.
Yeah, these jerks figure every street's an Indianapolis Speedway.
Yeah.
And another thing, that geezer didn't stop either.
I know.
But if you're interested, I got a squint at him before. I was in that corner drugstore after a Coke, and while I was waiting, I happened to see this guy stand outside his car, and all of a sudden he got
wait
in
a minute,
it and took
wait a
off.
Minute. You mean he got all that speed up just from the end of the street? Tell me, Fenn, what'd he look like?
He's tiny. Tiny like your pinky finger. Uh-huh. Had elevating shoes on. Plus the fact he needed a shave. Say, you don't think it was purposeful, do you? Not an accident, I mean.
I don't know. But either way, I'm much obliged to you, friend. Bye-bye. I made a mental note about the small man with big heels and a beard and let it go at that. And I took one last look at the prison. Made me want to drive the 300 miles to San Pedro fast. It was some hazy place between late twilight and early evening fog when I located Jomo in his Water's Edge dry dock and repair shop and told him who I was.
I was fond of that Sinero lad, Marlowe. I'm glad I can help him some way. That boat here was his, you know, the love lady.
Mm-hmm.
Putting her back in the water tonight. Ah, love lady. It might be what he needed to keep him out of trouble at that.
It's hard to say, Jomo. Mm. But look, I don't have much time. Do you know where I can get next to this Jesse Tapp?
I followed him just this morning from a bar on 3rd Street. He's hiding out in a warehouse on Lookout Hill Road. It's shut down now. It won't open up again until...
Hold it, Jomo. That noise, it came from out here.
There's someone there, Mr. Marlowe?
No, not anymore, there isn't.
And there probably wasn't. I got me a clumsy little cat, Marlowe, always falling over.
Jomo, you said Lookout Hill Road, right?
Aye. Yeah, this is only a block long, the highest point in town. Mm. You just head straight up King Street to the top. You can't miss the warehouse.
Thanks. Jomo.
Huh?
You have no idea what this is all about, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say that, Marlowe. But you see, I don't let myself think of some things too much. I keep my mind on boats more than people. Easier to understand. Easier to repair, too. Good luck, Marlowe.
I was less than 10 minutes finding the deserted warehouse, which ran true to form. Rust and every other window broken. But when I was out of my car and moving around toward a side entrance, I saw something else. It was a girl, tall and blonde, standing in the deep shadow of a Fit Shampoo billboard. When I started for her, she threw one scared look my way, then scrambled into her pocket for a key. I made it just as she got it out and into the door lock.
Let's not be hasty, honey.
Get your dirty mitts off.
When you stop kicking, I will. Not before, sweetheart. Not before, Gloria.
How do you know the name Bright Eyes?
Ah, that cute little scar on the bridge of your nose. You should have ducked, kid. Not that it doesn't add character.
Go soak your head. I don't know you.
You should. Jesse does.
Jesse? Who are you, anyway?
Name's Marlowe. Here to see your boyfriend, Tap, per schedule. It's a business appointment, Gloria.
Business? Oh, yeah, sure. Fence, huh?
Yeah, fence, huh? Now, do we go up or throw pebbles at the window until Jesse comes out? Which?
We go up, now that I know who you are. You know, Jesse didn't mention you're coming.
That's what I like about working with Jesse. Which way?
Up these stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of nice setup we got here, huh?
Yeah. Sweet of the owners to let you have a key.
Well, it wasn't exactly that way. Jesse had...
Changed the lock, yeah. Is that the door? One mark, President?
Uh-huh. Mr. Tapp's very own. Imagine Jesse as an executive.
Funny, huh?
Hey, Mr. Head of the firm, you got callers. Jesse! Ah, that jerk's probably asleep. That's the way I figured, asleep in a swivel chair. Hey, Mr. President, you got company. Hey, Jesse, come on, wake up. The guy here who wants... Jesse. What is it, Marla? What's wrong with him?
Too much to fix, honey. Head of the firm, Jesse's been shot to death. No business as usual today.
Dead. How do you like that?
Not much. Maybe it's you I do business with, huh?
What are you talking about?
Now, look, I never like to get into money matters with dames, but now I'm stuck. So let's get to work, you and me. Where are they, Gloria?
Where are what?
Come on, you coy little jerk. The stones, the Negrotto stones. I want to see them.
I don't know where they are. You would never tell me.
Ah, don't lie. You were his girl.
Hey, listen, mister. Ever since I met that guy, I've been living on double talk and slaps in the mouth. I spent my nights dodging my own shadow. I'm glad it's over.
Why'd you stick?
Because of them stones. I knew I had them hid someplace. I figured maybe they'd get us away from here after all. He kept saying he had to wait till the time was right. That's all he'd ever say. Even to me, his girl.
You know, with that talent, you ought to be in pictures, kid.
Yeah? Believe me, mister, I learned the hard way not to try to pin Jesse Tapp down. You do whatever you want, I'm getting out of here. Before the act.
Just a minute.
What?
Somebody did this, baby.
I can name 20 who'd been tickled pink.
Yeah, but I took a lot of chances setting up this deal to move the Negrotto jewels. I wouldn't want to be edged out now by cheap competition like a squirt and build up heels.
What's that?
Nothing, a swing in the dark. Excuse me.
Sure. Now you excuse me. It's strictly your problem, sucker.
I stood and watched her as she walked away. I didn't know just what my next move should be, but then it hit me. Whoever had killed Jesse Tapp would go for her next. So when she hailed a cab at the foot of the hill, I ran to my car and I started after her. But by the time I got turned around, a switch engine playing shuffleboard with a string of boxcars cut in between us. When that was over, Gloria was gone. I spent the next hour and a half raking the neon-lighted muck along the docks looking for her with no success. Until finally in a rancid backwash called the Reef, I got a break, but from another direction. The same unshaven little man with high heels who tried earlier to run me down was at the bar, blinking back the sting of a straight shot. I watched while he picked up a handful of small change from the bartender, and when he pranced toward a phone in the hallway at the rear, I followed him. It was too good to be a coincidence.
Yeah,
he had
that's
to tie
right,
in.
Operator. San Diego. Yeah, Christine Fuller, right. How much? Okay. Hello? Hello, Christine? Hiya, baby. This is Fritz. Hey, listen, honey, I got it all set up. Yeah, I'm going right now, right away, yeah. It's dark now and everything's ready. I said everything, didn't I? I'll have them in an hour and be out of here. Hmm? But just be a good girl till I get there, understand? Yeah, I'll see you before morning. Oh, your little Fritz wouldn't let you down. You know that. Goodbye, baby.
Hello, little Fritz.
Hey, who are you?
Come back here!
Hey, what is this? Who are you?
Guy you tried to run over this afternoon.
Hey, now listen, Slim. There must be some mistake
there
here.
There is, and you just made it when you knocked off Jesse Tapp. Now that I got you, little Fritz, I'm going to shake you up and down until a lot of answers or a lot of teeth start dropping out of you.
No.
Make up your mind. What's it going to be? Come on!
No, leave me alone. Stop.
Hey, what's going on here?
Run along, Buster. It's private.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, big luck like you picking on a little guy like him, it would be a shame.
Hey, don't you believe in the brotherhood of man?
Yeah, but this weasel don't qualify.
He jumped me, Fathers. He was going to rob me.
Oh, he was he? Put him down,
hey,
you.
Come on. Turn loose of him, big bully.
Okay,
what did
you jerk!
Come on, get up!
Get him, Joel!
Come on, Joel!
Hit him over the head!
Beat him, not fight!
Him
again, Joel!
Come on, get up!
Oh, nuts, he's all cold. Let's throw him out in the alley. Come on.
Good idea. Hey, where'd the little guy go?
Hey, he baited. Well, you'd think he'd stick around long enough to buy us a drink, wouldn't you?
Judging
from the way my face felt.
The two longshoremen must have...
Oh, had barnacles on their fists.
In the 5 minutes it took me to climb back on my feet, I thought some very unpleasant things about the Brotherhood of Man, both fore and aft. But I dropped them when I remembered the time was running out fast for my client, and I still hadn't got beyond the loose ends I'd started with. Tap's girlfriend, Gloria, and little Fritz. It was a hunch that took me up the hill of the old retired warehouse again. I parked a block away and started toward it on foot when the glow from a lonely cigarette said that it wasn't quite as deserted as it should have been. The cigarette belonged to a woman who was someplace under a lot of makeup.
Well, interesting evening.
You're asking me or telling me?
Well, either it is, it has been, or it could be. Take your pick. You look like a bright boy. Hey, you look like you fell into a meat grinder.
No, just a philosophical discussion.
Oh? Nice view from here.
Not too bad.
A girl like me needs a view once in a while. Keeps the past from crowding the future. You can see the whole waterfront from here without smelling it.
Yeah, that's great, huh? Now, look, you haven't seen anybody hanging around here in the last few minutes, have you?
You kidding? Nobody hangs around this old dump. First time I've been up here in a month. Nobody's hung around here since old Tom died. Used to be the night watchman. And it was a lot of laughs for you, old Tom. He had that upstairs room, that one up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the Tom I've... Hey, that's queer. That's real queer. Look.
What? Hey. Oh, a telescope. Mounted on the windowsill.
Yeah, old Tom never had a thing like that up there. Who do you suppose put it there?
I know who, honey. My question is why? A telescope.
Well, it seems to be pointed down there toward the small boat anchorage.
Yeah. Where a certain boat was in for paint and repairs. Tap could watch every step from here when the job was done. Holy smoke, it could be. Thanks, baby. You've been a big help.
Sure. All things to all men. Have fun, Sonny.
My client's boat was a long shot, but it was the only bet I had. And it stayed a long shot all the way down to Jomo's dock. There the odds began to drop fast to even money when I heard the motor running and found the door to Jomo's boathouse half open. It became odds on when I eased inside and stumbled over Jomo himself, stretched out unconscious on greasy planks like a beached bull whale. I stepped over him, got my .38 in hand, and edged out along the catwalk to the open dock where the boat scraped restlessly against the fenders. There were no lights except for a tiny spot no bigger than the hole in a candy lifesaver that probed frantically along the seams inside the cabin. It was little Fritz with a shielded flashlight, intent on finding something fast. I stepped into the boat. Deliberately kicked over an oil can and crouched. The light went out.
Who's there? Somebody out there? Well, speak up.
Throw your gun over the side and stand real still. Do it now, little man, or I'll blow you in two.
Hold on, wait. Yeah. Who are you?
It's me, Fritzy Marlowe. So Tap hid the stones right here on Bill Sonero's boat, huh?
Yeah, that's right. They're still here. Fortune. Hey, look, fella, if we play it smart, there's plenty for both.
I want a few things straight first. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tap hid the jewels aboard here after the robbery without Sonero's knowledge. But after Sonero was caught, he gave the boat to Jomo, who kept it locked up inside there. Which meant that Tap had to wait until Jomo'd finished his repairs before he could get back the stones again, huh?
Yeah, that's right. They were too hot to handle anyway. They had to be hid someplace. They were safe here, so why stir up another fuss? But what else you want
to
know?
Are you going to explain to your little sugar in San Diego that Christine Fuller you cooed to tonight when you don't show up for a few years?
Marlo, we can do business.
And another thing. How'd you get into this act in the first place?
I got ways, like a couple of friends on the inside.
Ah, that figures. One of them must be on the inside of the state pen. That's how come you hooked onto me so fast with that car. Who is it?
A guard named Kennedy. He's a pig, a cut-rate chump.
The other friend?
He's behind you with a gun.
Fine.
Oh, that's my baby. I'll take your gun now, Mr. Marlowe. Oh!
Stop it. Put it away, Fritz. Did you find the stones?
Not yet, but it won't be long now, sugar.
Marlowe, get in that cabin and run this boat. We're going out. Go on, move.
Oh, no, wait a minute, baby. We don't know anything about bugs.
We're not taking any more chances here. Untie that rope at the back, Fritz.
That's called cast off the stern line.
Shut up! Get inside, Marlo. Go on.
Sure, sure. Well, Skipper, where to?
Just head for that open part out there.
Hey, it's gonna be rough. Well, that won't matter to us, baby. We've been through plenty together, huh?
Yeah, like putting Jesse Tapp out of the way for a starter?
Sure, well, he asked for it. He was a pushover for Gloria here.
Why, you...
So it was little Gloria who killed him, eh?
All right, so it was me. Fritz called me up and warned me you were coming here to Pedro, and I overheard you when you talked to Jomo. I knew you'd get to Jesse and make him spill, so I killed him. It's going to have to be done sooner or later anyway.
The old double cross.
Yeah, the old double cross.
So what? That's a game the smart ones always play with the suckers. Always win.
Not always, Fritz.
Oh, often enough to make a... What? Hey, Gloria. Gloria, what? No, don't. Gloria, no.
Keep your hands on that wheel, Marlo. I heard Marlo's crack about that Christine Fuller, Fritz. You louse. Straight ahead, Marlo.
Now what, baby? Still got me to worry about.
That's too bad. You're a nice guy. Where are we?
Well, the channel's way over there where that buoy is. And that means that a big rock pile called the breakwater is right off our starboard bow. If I don't turn, we'll hit it, and I'm not turning.
Those rocks, Marlo!
Feeling better now, Mr. Marlowe?
Yeah, thanks, Lieutenant. That water was awful cold.
You said it. Have another cup of Coast Guard mud. Do you good.
Oh, thanks. Look, I was wondering if...
If we located the girl you told us about?
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't as lucky as you were. However, your boat hung up on the rocks. The boys found all that jewelry in the cabin, in this leather baggie. Well, we'll be in a couple of minutes.
Good. I'll just have time to call a young guy and tell him he can close out his books. They balance now. He's paid up in full. When I got through to Warden Riker, told him all that had happened, and gave him the message for Billy Cenero, he thanked me and said the kid was facing 11 o'clock like someone who had the weight of the world lifted off his back. A back that should have been part of a football team. A back that should be tanned from the sun at the beach. A back whose arms should be around a lovely girl. A back knelt in prayer for a better world. A back... strapped to the electric chair.
The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, bringing you Raymond Chandler's most famous character, star Gerald Moore, are produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and written for radio by Robert Mitchell and Gene Levitt. Featured in the cast were Wally Mayer, Bill Johnstone, David Ellis, Tom Holland, Larry Dobkin, Doris Singleton, Lou Krugman, and Michael Ann Barrett. The special music is composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Be sure and be with us again next week when Philip Marlowe says...
This time I found a corpse in a flower shop. A gypsy who read her own fortune in dollar signs in a death struggle 20 feet from a crowded merry-go-round. All because a man forgot one white carnation.
Grand Central Station, the very name itself creates a tingle of excitement. Grand Central Station, that busy, gigantic railroad terminal where every day hundreds of vital human dramas occur. It is these human dramas you hear every Saturday over most of these same CBS stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And this is CBS, where you also enjoy Junior Miss every Saturday in the daytime on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the crime club. I'm the librarian. The self-made corpse. Yes, we have that story for you. Come right over. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable? The manuscript is on this shelf. Here it is. The Self-Made Corpse. The very unusual story of a plan for living in which the architect was death. Let's look at it under the reading lamp. It was late one evening, and Skippy Parker, the hat check girl of the Chickadee Club, was at her station in the cloakroom when a small, timid-looking man came into the spacious lobby of the club and walked over to her.
Excuse me, miss. My name is Andrew Mitchell.
That's nice.
Here's something for you.
A half a dollar?
Well, it's all I can afford at the moment. Please take it.
All right. But what do I have to do for it?
Just tell me where I can find Mr. Spade's diamond.
What?
He owns this place, doesn't he?
So I've been told.
And he's one of the most successful gang leaders in the country, an empire builder.
Andrew, you wouldn't be crazy, would you?
Oh, no, no, no.
Then why do you want to see Spade?
Well, it's business. Very important and very private.
Uh-uh. Here's your money back.
But why?
Go home to your padded cell.
You don't believe me, do you, Traffic? I don't see it. Very well, I'll find Mr. Diamond without your help. And I'll tell him that you refuse to cooperate.
But don't forget to mention my name. It's Skippy Parker.
I won't forget, Miss Parker, but you'll regret it. I'm going to have you rubbed out.
Well...
So young and so beautiful, but your manners are bad. I'm going inside to look for Mr. Diamond.
Every night a new nut. Oh, well.
Waiter. Waiter. Waiter.
Where's the riot, mister?
Waiter, this check you left on my table a few minutes ago, I just looked at it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But don't you think you've made a mistake?
Yeah?
I had 4 small glasses of rye and ginger ale and 2 cups of black coffee without sugar. And you're charging me $16.
There's a $3 cover charge if you're here at 10 o'clock.
Oh?
There's a $5 cover charge if you're still here at midnight.
But that's an outrage.
Go fight City Hall. It's the rule of the house.
I won't pay it.
Oh... A red.
I'm not a red. I'm a fine, upstanding citizen, and I'm not going to be charged just for sitting at a table.
Stand on your head and we'll pay you.
I had to sit here all this time, don't you understand?
All me and the boss wants is $16.
I haven't got it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a job that pays me $62 a week. I've had it for 30 years. And when I started, I was getting only $12.
You're in trouble, mister.
What am I going to do?
You want to take my advice?
Yes.
Kill yourself.
What?
Nobody ever gets out of here without paying a check.
But I came here looking for Spade's diamond, and I...
What's the matter, Joe?
This guy's full of liquid, boss, and no dough.
Okay, I'll take care of him. Go on back to your beat.
With pleasure.
I want to explain my predicament, sir, if you'll just give me a chance.
What predicament?
You're tearing up the check.
Sure, you're the great Andrew Mitchell.
Great? Oh, I'm just a teller in an out-of-town bank, and... How did you know my name?
I've got spies.
Of course. You're Spade's diamond.
How do you do?
Oh, you don't look at all like your pictures in the newspaper. Your eyes and your...
Oh, what's the matter?
You're squeezing my hand too hard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't know my own strength. I had no broken bones.
Well, I don't think so.
Good. Skippy Parker, the hat check girl, said you wanted to see me.
Oh, then she's redeemed herself. I'm so glad. A girl of her youth and beauty.
She said that you got a business that concerns $500,000 in cash.
Oh, well, I really haven't got it, sir. You see...
Have I been sizing you up for nothing?
No. The money belongs to the... Well, this is no place to discuss private matters, Mr. Diamond. All these people with the ears.
Okay. We'll go into my office.
Will we be alone?
Like in a grave. Come on. One flight up, and it's soundproof.
Hello?
Go ahead, Andy. Step right in.
Thank you, Spades. If Leona, that's my wife, should only hear someone call me Andy instead of Andrew, she'd have a... Spades.
Yeah?
You said we were going to be alone.
We are. Just relax.
But those four men against the wall...
I bought a director's. They never talk.
Oh, what, are they gangsters too?
Andy, what's your language?
I didn't mean to be disrespectful, gentlemen.
Oh, it's quite all right. Now, the business you came to see me about.
Oh, yes. But first now, I want you to know that I've never done a dishonest thing in my life.
No.
And I wouldn't be doing it now if it weren't for the fact that I'm...
Yes?
Well, I'm bitter. I've been cheated out of my proper station at the bank.
We gotta listen, fellas. He's that kind of a guy.
After 30 years of loyal service, last week the office of assistant cashier became vacant. Mr. Fenimore died. And I was next in line for the job. Who do you think got it?
You tell me.
That young man from Princeton, Griswold Griffith.
Oh, that's tough, Andy. What do you want us to do about it?
Well, I've got a plan that'll punish that bank. And I've got it on this piece of paper.
Yeah? What's this?
A layout, Spades.
Oh.
Now, the bank occupies the entire street floor of a small office building at the corner of Smith and Luden Streets in my town. Now, the main entrance to the bank is on Luden Street. That's right over here, see?
Oh, yeah.
Now, but over here on Smith Street, there's an entrance to the office building into a tiny vestibule.
And would this line over here be another door to the bank?
Yes. An entrance through the vestibule.
I see. Oh, and what's this box over here?
That's the elevator to the offices upstairs.
Oh.
Now, mind you, those offices have nothing to do with the bank.
I get it. And these two lines running between the bank wall and the elevator?
That's a short, narrow corridor that leads to a stairway behind the elevator.
Oh. And every weekday, what happens?
Well, every weekday at exactly 4 o'clock, the entrance to the building is locked by the bank guard. No one can come in or go out for 10 minutes.
Why?
At exactly 3 minutes after 4, the money box is wheeled out of the bank by 3 men, including me.
You don't say. Where does it go from there?
Into the elevator, of course. We take it down to the basement and lock the money box in the vault.
And there's $500,000 in cash riding that elevator?
At least.
How many guards? With guns, I mean.
Only one. It should be very simple, Spades.
Cops outside?
No. You and your men could go in the building before that Smith Street door is locked by the bank guard. Stay on one of the upper floors until the money box is wheeled out of the bank. And then...
The boys come down the stairs and do the job.
Yes.
How big is that money box?
About 4 feet high and about 3 feet wide. It's built like a safe.
You can't move fast with a thing like that, Andy.
Well, now wait. I've thought of that, too.
Yeah?
Smith Street is quite deserted at that hour. And if you forced me and the others into the elevator, it'll be quite a simple matter to bind and gag us.
Hey, everything's a simple matter to you, huh? How much do you expect for your trouble?
Well, I thought 20% wouldn't be too much.
20. You take 10. Okay, Andy, we'll case out the place and let you know.
May I know when?
When we're ready. Now, go downstairs and tell Joe to give you a drink. Plain ginger ale.
What? But Spades,
I said plain ginger ale, pal. From now on, you'll have to be careful what you drink. I don't want you talking at the wrong time. And to the wrong people.
Hey, Andy.
What? Who's calling me?
Up here, Andy. It's me, Joe.
What? Good heavens. What are you doing on that cloud?
I'm serving drinks. Come on up. You can have all you want.
But I have no money.
Are you kidding? You're rich.
Oh, of course. Who else is there?
Skippy Parker, with a brand new dress made out of hat checks. She's gorgeous, Andy. She wants to see you.
I'm coming right up.
Hello, Andy.
Skippy.
How'd you get away from your wife?
Joe said you were gorgeous. Oh, you're magnificent, Skippy. The most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I love you, darling.
What did you tell your wife?
I don't have to tell Leona anything. I'm the boss now. I do as I please.
That's the way it should be, Andy.
Yeah, I rule with an iron hand, and she obeys.
Oh, wonderful.
Where's Joe?
He jumped over to that other cloud to get some champagne.
Well, call him back, huh? Oh, I'm not allowed to drink champagne.
He's not going to charge you for it. You're rich now.
I want ginger ale.
What's the difference? They taste the same.
Well, ginger ale doesn't make me talk. Call him back, Skippy. Is he coming?
He can't hear me. You'll drink champagne and you'll talk and you'll talk and you'll drink champagne.
If you say so. You're so lovely. I've got to do as you say.
Then give me a kiss.
All right.
Andrew!
Skippy, did you hear something?
Just a funny sound.
Andrew, why don't you answer me?
Let's be on. I'll have to hide.
Answer me, you fool. Don't you know you can't get away from me?
I'd better go, Skippy.
You're still afraid of her.
No, I'm the boss. But she gets very angry and I... Goodbye, Skippy.
Andrew, wake up. What's the matter with you? Stop moaning and get up. I'm not going to stand here all evening wasting my time with you. For pity's sake, close your mouth.
I'm sorry, dear. I must have been very tired.
Best thing you do is sleep every night before dinner. And in the only good chair we have in this disgraceful living room. 30 years in one position and you're still sleeping.
I'm hungry, Leona. Is dinner ready?
Tired, hungry. You didn't complain the other night. You came home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I told you yesterday I met an old friend of mine in New York.
Well, what were you doing in New York? That's what I want to know.
I was inquiring about a car.
You were doing what?
I'm thinking of buying a car, Leona. It was going to be a surprise, but, well...
Have you gone out of your mind?
I may even give up my job and take a trip to California or Europe. That depends on how I feel when the time for decision comes.
Good heavens.
Well, aren't you going to ask me how I can do all these things on $62 a week?
I didn't realize what was happening to you. Oh, good Lord.
I'm perfectly sane, Leona. I've been playing it smart, that's all.
What?
Every day I put aside a part of my allowance, my lunch and cigarette money. And when I had enough, I began to gamble.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. My luck was very good, and I bet the whole thing on a sure thing.
Oh, no.
When it comes in, I'm going to be rich. Very rich, Leona. Don't touch that phone, Leona. I'll answer that. Hello? Andrew Mitchell speaking.
How are you, Andy?
Spades
Diamond, pal. We've cased out the bank. My boys will be there tomorrow.
So soon?
What's the matter? You getting pains in your spine?
No, I didn't think...
Tomorrow, Andy, and no slip-ups. That money box goes into the vestibule at 4:03. Understand?
I understand.
I won't be there, but 6 of my boys will. And they've got orders to come back with that money box.
Yes.
That's the idea. We're going to get along all right, Andy. Just keep on saying yes.
Yes? But when do we... I mean about the... you know what?
Tomorrow night at my office. Chickadee Club. You're a greedy little guy, aren't you?
Well, after all...
You'll get your cut. Be here at 9:00.
Who was it, Andrew?
Huh?
Who were you talking to, and what did you mean by you know what?
It's none of your business, Leona.
What?
You heard me. Now you go put my dinner on the table. I'm hungry.
Attention. All law enforcement agencies in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, be on lookout for 6 men in small armored truck. These men held up the bank at Belfort this afternoon and escaped with...
Yes?
Mrs. Mitchell?
Yes?
I'm John Graham, Detective Graham.
Oh, well, come in. You don't have to stand out there where all the neighbors can see you.
You're not afraid of neighbors, are you?
I certainly am not, but... Oh, this business at the bank this afternoon, and Andrew right in the midst of it.
Was he?
Well, he was one of the men who wheeled that money box into the vestibule, and he was bound and gagged, too, like the others, and left to suffocate in that elevator.
I understand he was pretty upset about a promotion he didn't get.
What? Who told you that?
What if he spent at the bank, Mrs. Mitchell?
Well, why shouldn't he have been upset? He gave 30 years of his life to that organization. When the time came for the bank to show its appreciation...
Where's your husband?
Now, see here, Detective Graham.
I'd like to ask him a few questions. Will you take me to him?
3 hours of police headquarters as if he were a common criminal. Why, he was so exhausted when he came home, he was a complete physical and nervous wreck.
But he came home, didn't he?
Well, am I supposed to thank you for that?
I'm tired too, Mrs. Mitchell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait in the living room, please. I'll get Andrew for you.
Where is he?
He's upstairs.
Poor thing was even too exhausted to have dinner. He went right to bed.
Uh-huh.
Just hope he isn't asleep. I'd hate to wake him.
Yeah.
Detective Graham, I ask you to wait in the living room.
I feel like climbing stairs.
But... Oh, very well.
There's a rumor around headquarters that the robbery might have been an inside job.
What?
As my wife would say, it was just too perfect for words.
Oh.
There were no mistakes. We're looking for the man who might have tipped off the gang about how things are done at the bank.
Andrew?
Maybe.
Oh, of all the ridiculous things I've ever heard. Andrew and gangsters.
It's happened before. We're checking everybody.
Oh, here's our room. And when you see the man I've been married to for 27 years... Good heavens!
Uh-huh. I thought you said he was sleeping.
Well, he told me he was going up to bed.
That bed hasn't been slept in, Mrs. Mitchell.
I don't understand. I didn't see him leave the house. Unless he's in the... Andrew! Andrew, there's a man here to see you.
Which is his closet, Mrs. Mitchell?
That one near you. Now, he didn't run away, Detective Graham. He couldn't.
Are all his clothes here?
He only has two suits, and he's wearing one. Now, look, Detective Graham, I want you to tell me the truth. Did you come here to arrest my husband?
No, but now I'm wondering if it wouldn't be a good idea.
It's a lot of money, Andy.
$55,000. Oh, I can't believe it's Spades. All mine.
You want to run your fingers through it again? Well, go ahead. We don't mind if you're happy.
Do we, fellas?
That means they don't mind, Andy.
Oh, does it? It's delicious. For the first time in my life, I'm going to live. Oh, I'm grateful to you, Spades. I'll never forget you.
Sure, the poor man's best friend. Why don't you go downstairs and start celebrating?
I can have a drink now.
Sure, have a dozen. The Chickadee Club likes to make a buck, too.
Well, I'm afraid I won't be able to do it tonight.
Well, why not?
You see, Leona thinks I'm in bed. And if she should find out that I'm not...
Listen to this guy, fellas. He's afraid of a woman. That means you're killing them, Andy.
I don't have to be afraid of anyone now. Do I?
That's the spirit. Tell Joe to get you some of that champagne I keep for my special customers.
Champagne?
Yeah, well, don't you like it?
I don't know. I've never... Oh, for pity's sake.
Now, what's the matter?
I didn't thank you for this traveling bag you loaned me.
Oh, that's all?
I couldn't have taken the money without it. I'll return it tomorrow, Spades.
Don't bother. I'm not going anyplace.
Oh, well, good night, gentlemen.
Give me the cloakroom, baby. Skippy, Andy's on his way down. That's the idea, honey. We don't want him to get lonesome.
Whoopee!
Oh, Andy, darling.
I'm feeling good, Skippy. I'm having the most wonderful time I ever had in my life.
But you're making so much noise.
Am I? I'm sorry, dear. I'll be very quiet from now on.
Have another drink.
Shh, you're very quiet.
Oh, my, the bottle's empty. Andy, do you realize we finished a whole bottle of champagne?
Huh? I've got to get more. Lots of champagne. Hey, Joe.
Andy.
Huh? Shh, very quiet. Joe.
What do you want?
Huh? Well, where did you come from?
You called me, didn't you?
Oh, Joe. That's right. We want another bottle of champagne.
You think I care?
Nice fellow, that Joe. I'm going to leave him a big tip, a whole dollar.
Oh, no. Oh,
I can spare it. I'm rich now. I can afford to be generous.
With me too, Andy?
Oh, don't look at me like that, Skippy.
Why not?
You're too beautiful. You make my head spin.
I'm crazy about you, darling.
You mean that?
Do I look like the kind of girl who says things she doesn't mean?
I never thought it would happen to me.
What's the matter?
A young... beautiful girl falling in love with me.
Look, Andy, you don't have to get so upset about it. There are plenty of guys around.
No. I want you to love me.
Well, what's better?
But I've got no right to love you.
Darling, don't be a jerk.
No, you don't understand. I'm really mad about you. But I'm not yet... Well, eventually, I've got to become something that...
What are you talking about?
You won't tell anybody.
Is it something awful,
dear? It's worse than that. Someday I'll have to become a fugitive.
From your wife?
No, from the... Skippy, where's my traveling bag?
I checked it for you in the cloakroom.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm going to see if it's still there. Oh, my head, I can't get up.
Then don't.
I've got to see about my...
That's all, Cookie. And now Mama's gonna make an honest man out of you.
Andrew Mitchell, don't you dare go upstairs.
What? Leona, I thought you were asleep.
Do you know what time it is?
The house is dark. I thought you were...
Get into that living room.
Don't you push me, Leona.
I'll push you. It's 5:10, and you're going to tell me where you've been?
Yes.
And why you stole out of this house like a thief after you told me you were going to bed.
Don't turn that light on. I told you not to turn that light on.
Andrew.
Well, what of it? I had a fight with Joe. He threw me out of the club. It was closing time, and I... Get me a drink of water.
I'll do nothing of the kind, you gangster.
Got me drunk on champagne, took my traveling bag. Quit her job and disappeared. Joe wouldn't tell me where. He wouldn't tell me where Spades lived either.
Gangster.
My money was in that bag, $55,000. The money I was going to buy a car with. The money that was going to set me up for the rest of my life.
The money you won gambling, Andrew?
Get me a drink of water.
Detective Graham was here last night.
The money that... Who?
A detective from police headquarters. He wanted to ask you some questions.
Why did he come here?
The police have decided the bank robbery was an inside job.
But why did he come here? I answered all their questions at headquarters yesterday afternoon. I was there for 3 hours.
Oh, why did you do it, Andrew? Why did you help those gangsters rob the bank?
Shut up, you fool.
I won't shut up. You never won any money gambling. You were going to buy a car. You were going to give up your job and go to Europe.
Listen, Leona.
But you knew where the money was coming from, didn't you? Those gangsters were going to give it to you. Your share of the bank's money.
Leona, if you don't keep your voice down, I'll... You get away from that phone.
I'm calling the police and you try to stop me, Andrew Mitchell.
I'll stop you.
Go.
I'll stop you.
No, please. I can't breathe.
You're not sending me to prison. You're not going to lock me up for the rest of my life. Not you, Leona. Not as long as I live.
Number, please. Number, please.
Leona. Leona. Leona.
Come in.
Spades.
What do you want?
I've got to...
Get out of here, you bum. If you want a handout, ask for it outside the club. Don't come barging into my office.
You wouldn't talk to me outside, and the doorman wouldn't let me follow you in.
Take care of him, fellas.
No, wait. I'm in trouble. I need help. The $55,000 you gave me last night...
Hey, it's Andy.
I walked all the way from Belfort all day, and then I had to steal in through the surface entrance. No one saw me. It was dark.
Well, you should have phoned me that you were coming. I would have put out the plush carpet for you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Diamond.
You dumb cluck. The first time you get your hands on real dough, you'll act like a football player with butter on his fingers.
What do you mean?
I know what Skippy did to you last night. Joe told me all about it.
Oh.
And he told me what he had to do to get you out of the joint. We don't like riots around here, Andy.
Well, that doesn't solve any problems now, Mr. Diamond. I've got to leave the country.
Okay. You want me to get you a passport?
What good will that do without money? Can't you let me have, say, $25,000?
Huh? You hear that, fellas? That means you're nuts, Andy.
Oh, please listen to me. This morning when I came home, Leona was waiting for me. We had a quarrel. And I strangled her.
What?
She was very nasty. And I had to kill her. Now you've got to help me.
Yeah. We don't want the cops picking you up.
Well, Leona's body won't be found for several days. I could be in South America by then.
It wouldn't take them long to make you talk. And once you start talking, brother... Okay, come with me.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Diamond.
He's a gentleman, isn't he, fellas? That means they like you, pal. Go ahead, Andy.
Down there?
What are you afraid of? It's only my private storage room.
Are they going to?
Naturally. They're your friends. Don't you trust them?
Well, I think I'll forget all about the money.
Give him a hand, fella.
No.
Oh. I should have warned you about that top step. It's bad. I'm sorry you had to take such a fall.
You told him to push me, Mr. Diamond.
Huh?
Mr. Diamond, I promise if the police catch me, I'll never tell them about you.
I'll be better off with you out of the country.
Oh.
You recognize that box over there?
Huh? The money box.
Without the combination. That leaves a nice big hole for you to breathe through.
For me to... Spades, what are you going to do?
Not me, chum. You. Get in there.
No.
Give him a hand, fella.
No. No, give me a chance. I haven't done anything to you. Please. No.
I couldn't figure out how to get rid of that thing.
Please. Please listen to me, Spades. I never hurt a soul in my life. Let me go.
Close the door, fellas, and get some rope.
For heaven's sakes, what am I going to do?
You see what I mean, pal? All the air you want. Inhale. Two, three,
no.
Four. Exhale.
No.
Two, three, four.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to die, Spades. Please. Please let me live. I'll do anything you want me to. I'll go any place you say.
You're going, Andy. I'll bet you've never been out this far. Can you see the moon? Shines differently outside the 3-mile limit. Doesn't it, fellas? That means it does, Andy.
Look, Spades, you're a big man. How can I hurt you? I'm insignificant. I could walk along any street in the world and not be recognized by the police. I look like... only like so many other little insignificant people. Just let me go. I'll get out of the country somehow. You'll never hear from me again. Nobody will ever hear from me again. Spades, will you do it? Please. Please. I don't want to die, Spades.
Okay, fine.
Please. Please. No. No. Not now. Not now. No.
Let's go home, fellas. The ocean air makes me sleepy.
And so closes tonight's story, The Self-Made Corpse. Oh, are you wondering what happened to Spades Diamond and his gang? Well, they died in the electric chair, of course. After Skippy was arrested with the money, she told the police about the murder of Andrew. Stedman Coles wrote the radio script. Roger Bauer produced and directed. Bill Smith played Andrew Mitchell. Arthur Vinton was Spades Diamond. Irene Hubbard was Leona Mitchell. Joan Compkins was heard as Skippy Barker. Bill Quinn was Joe, and Barry Thompson was Detective John Graham. Oh, I beg your pardon. Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes, this is the Crime Club. I'm the librarian. Yes, come over a week from tonight. Good. We have the very unusual story of a baseball that captured a gang of thieves. It's called A Pitch in Time. In the meantime... well, in the meantime, there is a new Crime Club book available this week, and every week at bookstores everywhere. Yes, it's available now. Fine. And we'll look for you next week.
This program came from New York. Stay tuned now for the thrilling adventure broadcast, Johnny Madero, Pier 23, which follows in just a moment. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. If you want to find more from Philip Marlowe, Crime Club, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit the website at relicradio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and a donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all this possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.